Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 2 of our locker room series happening here at George Mutt by UTMB. I'm so stoked to be here for the 2025 event. It's been so nice to catch up with familiar faces, see the trail community doing its thing, and be stoked about what adventure is unfolding in the Otanequa as we speak. Thank you for sticking through the audio of the first episode, just ironing out some of the creases and wrinkles and getting used to what's happening in a locker room space. I believe that this round will be better, so I appreciate all of you. Special shout out to Sean for the encouragement. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoy this episode. I will be catching up with some very familiar faces from the marathon and 60k distances, starting off with Matt Bouch, then chatting to the dynamic sibling duo of Kane and Sam Riley, and finally ending off with a very funny conversation with Douglas Pickard, a KZN local legend. I hope you guys enjoy what they have to share, some of the challenges, some of the excitement, how they've managed to problem solve and find their way to the start line of George Mutt. Enjoy. Hey guys, I'm back in studio. We've just heard from the race director himself, and next up we are chatting to Matt Bouch. This is like one of my favorite humans. He is just a great runner, nice guy, always willing to help. He just literally jumped into format some camera stuff. Sorry, Mance and Zach. And that's just the type of human he is. So Matt, it's really nice to see you. I want to say I'm sorry that you're not on the 100-miler start line, but I'm really excited to see you do something a little bit different. And I'm really glad that you're not injured anymore. But yeah, how are you doing?
Thanks, Em. Thanks for that kind intro. Yeah, you and Zach and Mance did a really good job here. It looks super cool. If everyone else saw what we're seeing, you realize how much work went into this. So yeah, good job.
Thanks.
Yeah, I had huge FOMO watching the milers go off now, yeah. Off on their adventure. Like, I kind of have FOMO, but also not really, because I know what they're in for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm doing the marathon tomorrow.
Awesome.
I had like a hamstring niggle. It's not quite right, but we're getting there. So okay. Tomorrow will be a nice test. Yeah.
Nice. I am really stoked to watch you race a short course. It's so funny whenever I bump into people who run 100 miles and then they say, oh, I'm doing the short one. And then I'm like, okay, it's like the furthest I've ever run, but cool. Are you feeling, mixed emotions? Are you just excited to kind of test yourself and measure yourself against the course? How are you feeling being at George Mutt, Matt?
So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get out there. Like, it's a really beautiful course. I ran it back in 2021, I think, before it was a UTMB event. Yeah. I ran the marathon here. Interesting story about that, which I'll come back to. But yeah, I mean, day in the mountains is never a bad thing. So yeah. If you take the competition aspect aside, it's going to be cool to get out there. I mean, Obviously, I'm competitive. I would like to have a good race, a good time, a good position. But tomorrow, the goal really is to finish, in kind of one piece. So I'm going to need to be cautious in the beginning. And then if I feel good, then push maybe 20, 30 Ks in.
Nice. That's epic.
Which is almost the end of the race, actually. I need to rethink those numbers, but yeah.
I was looking at this course and just reflecting a little bit on where it started at Witfontein and like how it's changed and grown. And I mean, the whole event, it's really exciting to see where it's come from. But I think 2021, Matt, that was your year that you raced and paid a lot of school fees. You were kind of trying this thing for the first time.
Yeah, 2021 was before I was coached or before I kind of took running, I say, seriously. I'd had so many mixed results. I'd like do a race, it would go well, then I'd race again and it would go poorly, and I couldn't kind of figure out, I didn't understand any principles of endurance sports, and I had to scrape myself up off the floor here at about 35 k's.
Oh, no.
The cross or that power station aid station, I was like, guys, just let me go down in the car, please. I'm like, like, there's no car, so you're either walking or you're running.
Oh, no.
And that was actually the sort of spark that led me to contact Aaron Flatrock, cool. Started to get coached.
Nice.
And I was like, look, I want to do longer distances. I need to figure this marathon thing out.
Yes.
And yeah, it was 2021, 2023, I ran the miler here.
Wild.
So yeah, there's been a bit of history with George.
Yeah, you took the I want to do longer distances seriously and then found yourself on the miler. And this, I mean, just crazy route. I think that miler, what they've just gone out for, is really something else. But yeah, story for another day. Matt, so shorter stuff, I mean, shorter is not always easy. I think you can kind of testify to that. But thoughts on just like the intense racing at this intensity. And I know that you were kind of struggling with an injury. How are you feeling just looking through that lens?
It's a challenging thing. And I think it's about balancing ego and expectation with kind of reality. Is like to go out at a pace that you can see how your body feels and how it will respond. Because the nature of this injury, I've got like a hamstring tendinopathy.
Okay.
The hamstring actually feels fine, but it flares up in sort of glute TFL area and it really kicks off with fast running and climbing.
Okay.
Two things that are like exactly what you need to do on a 44K. So the doctors have said like, let's try. And we've been building up running volume. I'm fit. Like I'm probably as fit as I've ever been.
Okay. Nice.
So the sort of distance and duration is not going to be a problem. It's just balancing where to push and where to tap off. But Joe, I mean, there's guys that this is their distance, and it's always intimidating going up against guys who have trained and are 100% in for a marathon.
Yes.
I mean, we'll see how it goes.
I'm super, it's going to be great, Matt. I'm like, weather's good. You sound like you're going with a good mindset. And I loved there was some banter between you and Kane, who we're going to chat to a little bit later, just about he's figuring out the nutrition side of short racing. And you were like, Brew, you run so fast that you only need one gel. Are you only going to take one gel tomorrow, Matt? What's your kind of nutrition plan?
Maybe a couple more than one gel. Nutrition, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I think that was why I hit the wall here in 2021. I can't remember what I had, but probably like a banana and some Energade or something. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I'm hoping to finish under 5 hours.
Nice.
So I've got 5 hours worth of nutrition. So if that goes pear-shaped, then I'm going to eating at aid stations.
Nice.
I mean, the nutrition plan for me is pretty simple. I'll start with two flasks, probably just carb in the flasks, because that first climb you're kind of running a little bit faster and it's easy to drink out of bottles, and thereafter just 90 grams per hour, so one
nice that's sachet. Great. And I'm like, just only 90 grams if you've practiced, everyone. I think it's like we always chat to kind of our friends on the pointy end of the field, and then everyone's like, yeah, I need to like send down 90 grams in one go. And I'm like, ooh, I mean, if you have an iron gut, cool, but if you haven't practiced, it might go not according to plan.
It's the nutrition thing's interesting. I think some people have taken it as a rule, 90 grams an hour. It's in practice, it's a lot more fluid than that.
Yeah.
Maybe fluid's the wrong word, flexible. Because you aim for 90. Some sections, if it's hot or if you're really running, you might get 70. But it's kind of like aim for the stars, land on the moon type thing.
Yes.
You know, you know what you can do at the max. I've tried more than that. I've gone up to 110, 120. It doesn't work.
Okay.
I find 90 is a good spot because realistically, I probably land on 80-ish if I look at the end of the race. Like I keep all my wrappers and I try and work out what I've eaten. It's definitely not a fixed thing. And I think that's crazy to think you would eat. It's not a metronome, you know. You can't every hour be eating. The course is different. Some aid stations are different distances. So
I was going to ask you just on that, like, where do you typically find yourself eating? Like, if you've moved away from, I know some people like set a time on their watch and it goes off like every 20 minutes and it reminds them. And then do you try just like make a decision based on where you are in that 20 minutes about the best time to eat?
Yeah. I mean, it's the time on the watch is a good thing just because it prompts you. I think sometimes you can get into the zone. You don't realize that you've run for an hour. Like in a beautiful section of trail, you can be cruising for a long time and then, oh no, I forgot.
Yes.
So at least if there's a sort of a prompt, you remember that. Then you just assess, like if you miss 20 minutes, like don't then like glug down three gels back to back. Like you kind of don't want to overload your stomach, but you do want to be eating in sort of
and like just deliberate
drips
and
sips, you know, like
little
bits of nutrition throughout, little sips of fluid throughout.
Yeah.
Goes further than
nothing. Like, and then sending it down. And Matt, I know like prep has looked maybe different, and even this year you were hoping to line up at the miler and now you've made an adjustment, which I think is really cool, by the way. I'm like, just to make a change and go out, and even it sounds like you have, you know, you're going to just see how you feel on the day. And I think that's a, like it's really good for us to see, like everyone watching the race, because it's like, oh, if not everything's going according to plan, there's space, you know, depending on what you've entered, to still show up, which is cool. But your rest of the year, like, where can we expect to see you? Do you know what the next steps are, or are you kind of just
depends
going
how today tomorrow goes? So the racing thing, look, the beginning of the year has been bumpy. Like, I was in for pass to pass. I didn't do that. UTD, didn't do that. The miler, I moved down to the 44K. The thing that is, like, I enjoy the sport. So yeah, there's a point at which I'm like, I'm not going to let competitive ambitions prevent me from running. Like, I love being here. I love the community. I love the mountains. So yeah, that's kind of where we are now. I could easily stay at home and, like, ridden 20 hours on the bike this week, like I've been doing previously, but I want to get back into it. The rest of the year is in some ways contingent on this, like how this goes, I think will set the expectations. But I'm going to Tanzania after this for like a 5-day stage run.
So cool.
Traverse Tanzania. It's like the first year they're doing it as a run. It was a ride before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a social race-ish, a bit of like a big training block.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do the Cogman's 50K at the end of July.
Great.
And then I race TDS in August. Okay. So I'm going over to Chamonix for the whole of August. So I'll do TDS, which is kind of one of the bigger goal races for the year. Outside of that, I'm in for UTCT Miler at the end of the year.
Nice.
We'll see how that, I think we're kind of handling things as they come. But that's the plan for the year. Maybe a few things in between. I'm not sure yet.
I know you have an affinity for bicycles and racing that as well. I mean, how are you feeling after the Gallows last weekend? I know that was just fun and you were like, you want to go out and play. Was it a harder effort than you thought?
No, I'm probably a better cyclist at the moment than I am a runner. I've been training a lot on the bike. I really do enjoy it. Like, I got a bike a while back from an injury as like a final, I guess, this thing. I've actually really taken a liking to it. The Gallows was cool. I mean, it's like a really low-key event. Kind of reminds me of like Three Peaks, almost like the Puffer. And it's like a 99K loop followed by just a massive 20% gradient climb at the end.
It's brutal.
But yeah, we paced well. I rode well.
Nice.
I rode faster than I thought I would and had a fun day. It's like no pressure.
You're
literally just riding your bike.
Yeah.
And you've got no hope of competing there. Like, the guys are like, the winners are like an hour ahead.
So. Oh my gosh. Nice. It just keeps you humble. You're like, guys, my other sport is I would be there, but no, that's cool. And Matt, I think I just have this picture in my mind of like 2021, Matt, and now going on to the marathon course again. Like, what are you most excited for? Do you have like a favorite section of this marathon route, if you can remember it?
Yeah, there's the section after, so Dizzy Heights, that sort of back section coming out of Herald. I know they've changed the course a little bit to get there, but that Dizzy Heights section is amazing. You kind of drop down into a little ravine and then switch backs up. But then after Dizzy Heights, there's a section of ridge that you run down towards Tierkorp. And that for me is like one of the trails that seared into my brain.
Yeah.
I've always loved that. So that's probably the highlight.
Yeah.
And then the low light is going to be Tonnelbos in the mud.
I know.
We just pretend it's not there.
We just pretend also that the camber of the trail's not like, you know, skew. It's going to be okay. That's so cool, Matt. And I think something Zane mentioned earlier was just on that ridge line. He was like, if you're a marathon or 60K runner, you can look out at that whole valley and just think of the 100-miler athletes who are busy going out and then coming back. And I was like, you're going to run tomorrow and be like, huh, I've done that, but now I'm, you know, going down to Tonnelbos. That's quite cool.
Yeah, it's like a little shortcut.
A little shortcut, yeah. Matt, I'm really excited for your run. I hope it goes well. It's nice to see you. I'm stoked that you made the pivot and like, you just love the sport, so you're here to do something. If it's not like, doesn't all hinge or be all end all on the miler distances, so that's really cool. And do you have any friends who are, you are dicing in the marathon tomorrow? I have had a lot of people sit here and make jokes about who they're racing and their friends and they train together, and it's like, oh, we're gonna see how it goes.
I know a couple of people running the marathon. Hopefully none of them beat me, but no, I don't. It's not like, I think because I generally run the longer distances, like the miler stuff, we've got more of a sort of friend group in that distance, where it's like these friendly rivalries. So most of the guys are doing the miler. Yeah. So maybe I can just look at my segments and say, oh, I actually did beat you.
On that. I love it.
Yeah, no, just going to have a good time, I think.
And Matt, what is your, like, do you have any kind of go-to things that you do after a race to celebrate? I'm kind of intrigued in asking people this. I feel like if you're very disciplined, you have your, like, recovery shake and then you do your celebration. No, but
Cold plunge, protein shake, meditate. No, no, no. Probably just have a spur burger, to be honest.
Oh, no.
It depends on the distance. Like, tomorrow I'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I'll be chilled, cheering people. I'll probably go back out on the course, like try and see some of the other guys coming in. But after like longer stuff, the intention is always to do that. But in reality, you just try and eat.
Sit down. Yeah. Be like, oh, what day is it? What's my name? Yeah.
Sit actually is the sitting. That's the post-race ritual.
Oh, that is so cool, Matt. Well, I'm excited. Hopefully it goes according to plan tomorrow. Hammy plays along. Sub 5 hours will be really nice. But I'll be just after the Montague aid station, somewhere there, rooting for everyone. So I'll be looking out for you and cheering you on. And yeah, good luck, Matt.
Some media up there.
I'm just waiting for my dad.
Oh, you should do like on the fly podcast interviews at aid stations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, give everybody like, remember so yesterday you said it's good?
How's it going, Matt?
I'm going to be like, Matt, when last did you eat?
No, but, that's like Nick Grohl on the, he creamed me on the Milo. And he's a therapist.
Yes.
Psychiatrist. He's a therapist. I don't know his actual title. But he's so calmly, he's like, have you been eating?
Yes.
No. I think you should consider eating. That's the most dignified answer.
Yeah, he's being like really kind and you're like, I'm dying. Yeah, and he's like, Matt, we need you to eat so that you can keep making it to the next section. That's
crazy.
Words
of encouragement.
Okay, I will ask Matt tomorrow if he's eating, if he hears me, because he's probably going to fly past me in about 4 seconds. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Good luck, Matt. I'm really excited for you. And thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Cool. Always good.
Guys, I'm sitting here with Sam Riley. It was so nice to bump into her in the race village yesterday. Such a smiley, friendly presence. Sam, welcome to George. Are you stoked for your run? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. It's so lovely to be in, where we're staying in Wilderness, which is like a place I've gone to since I was little. So it's really good to be here.
Nice. Sam, when you were younger and like, I know that you and Kane, it sounds like Wilderness was like a special place. Did you guys explore these mountains and like run in the Otanikwa, or was it more like towards Wilderness side that you guys ran?
Yeah, actually, it's so weird. Like, we actually didn't spend, I personally didn't spend much time in the Otanikwa Mountains.
Yeah.
We did the Kingfisher Trail. We hiked that and spent time on, like, did White's Road, and my dad was surfed, so we were surfing focused and the beach. But yeah, the mountains in George are newer to me.
Okay.
And I'm so excited that I've discovered them.
Yeah. And I mean, your adventure tomorrow, I think you're going to see some of the best of what George has to offer without the crazy distance of something like the Mila. How are you feeling for your run? Are you stoked? Has it been a good build up as well?
I'm very excited for it. A bit nervous because I haven't raced that distance an ultra since last year.
Yes.
And I did the 35 at Ultra Drakensberg recently. Yes. And it was like obviously much shorter and faster. So it's been like a no build up is perfect, but it's been okay. And I feel good and I'm excited to run in these beautiful mountains.
I'm so pumped for you, Sam. And I laughed yesterday when we were at the race village and Sam was chatting to Admire and she was like, yeah, I'm asking him for tips on how to beat my brother, like how to race Kane. And I was like, I love that you guys both enjoy the same sport. And I mean, you said just now, like you guys have shared the start line a couple of times. Is that just like the best thing ever to run with your brother?
I mean, it's quite special in a way because I think Kane's obviously like on another level, and I've watched him run for many years now, and I'm newer to the sport, but like on and off racing the last, like 4 years. But so I never really raced many races with him, but the last year we have had more races together, and it is it's very special. I think it's very cool to be able to race your sibling, be in the same run. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that's amazing. And I'm sure, your family, like, so cool. I don't know if your folks come and, like, watch the races, and they're like, both of our kids are, like, doing this thing. And Sam, I mean, we haven't, like, had you on the podcast full-time, like, yet or for a full episode, but just can you chat to us a little bit of, like, how you came into running? I mean, it sounds like you had, like, an active upbringing. But, yeah, when did would you say, like, the running and racing became kind of more of a feature in how you go about your sport?
How did I come into? I actually didn't really run at school or university. I was more of a swimmer and water polo player. And then I remember my mom, she made me do, well, I did the two oceans half, and it was like so hard. And I literally, like, for like 3 weeks after I recovered, was like, oh, I'm taking it. And then I think it was, I can't remember which birthday, but she got me this 3-day event, and with a friend, you do it with a partner also. Yeah. And she was like, for my birthday, which was in January, and I think it was like in March, and it was African X. And then she was like, back in the day, and she was like, now, like, to get me to train, to run, like, to get fit. Like, it was like,
I bought you an entry.
And it was so cool. I loved it. It was so cool doing the training and with friend. And then it just, like, slowly on and off started running more. And I think only, well, in the last 2 years, started running, like, more seriously.
Yeah.
Like, training with a coach. And I love running because it's, like, the one time that I, like, really am present.
Yes.
And honestly, like, yeah, I wish I could take that presence into the rest of my life, and that's a bit harder. But with running and just being out there, like, it's magical for me.
Yeah, that's such a nice place to come back to and just, like, reset and refresh before, like, entering back into, like, the world again.
Yeah, and the training is amazing. I love it. And, like, because we get to run. And then when you do a race, actually, it's just, like, permission to run for so long without having to really think of anything else but the finish line, you know, which is pretty cool.
That's so exciting, Sam. I'm really, and I think tomorrow looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. I think you guys are in for a treat. Just weather-wise, and, like, the Oceanic was beautiful, and there's no wind in George, which I'm like, woo, that's great.
I noticed this
day out. The Capetonians are all like, what's going on?
Yeah, I noticed this morning, I, like, looked at the lagoon and it was, like, so glassy, and I was like, wow, no wind.
I know, I love that. That's, like, I feel like Cape Town runners, you guys train and in such unpredictable weather that if you could probably handle anything that tomorrow through, if it was wind or rain or whatever the case. So, but I'm glad it's setting up to be beautiful. And Sam, like, just what is going through your mind? I mean, 60Ks is a long way to go. And are you finding yourself, like, feeling quite calm about tomorrow? Is there anticipation? Is there any points of the course that you're feeling a little bit nervous about?
Yeah, it is far. And I think feel like I'm always nervous before races. I think that's a good thing because it means, like, you're excited and you know, nerves are good, I tell myself. And I think I'm just, making sure that I pace myself, that I can, like, do the distance and for the last bit from Tierkop, because I ran it 2 years ago when it was the muddy year, and I just remember really, like, it was really hard. The last section, it was tough. And so that in my mind is like, whew, if I get there.
Yes. And you're like, I know I can do it because I've done it before. So
makes it like, and I've run, I have run the marathon loop last year with Kane. Like, just on a weekend, and it was so beautiful. And when it wasn't muddy, and it was, like, crazy. So that was quite cool.
I'm glad you've seen the course, and it's, like, dry straight. And it sounds
such,
like,
a beautiful course.
Oh, that Dizzy Heights, that ridgeline. I mean, everyone has been kind of chatting about it. And for those who are curious about it, just come and run this race, and then you'll get to see it too. And Sam, I know it's always like we are looking to tomorrow and celebrating that, but where else can we kind of expect to see you next in terms of trail running? Have you thought about kind of your next race and what's up on the calendar?
I wanted to see how I felt after this one and then see from there, but I would definitely like to try UTCT 100 again.
Nice.
I just feel like it's such a beautiful event, and I love it. And we'll see in between there what yeah, I need to make some like race plans after that, yes. But between that and then, yeah.
I love how chilled you are, Sam. It's so refreshing to be like, yeah, chatting to someone who's like, yeah, we'll see. And it's not always all planned out to a T.
Yeah.
And Sam, what is your kind of go-to post-race ritual, routine, treats? What is the thing that you kind of look forward to after crossing the finish line?
What do I most look forward to? I actually don't know. I think seeing people that I love at the finish line is like actually the best thing that you look forward to the whole race. Actually, you're like almost there. That's what I love also. Yeah.
And do you guys have like family like debriefs? So you guys like chatting about your race and like Kane from his perspective, you from yours. Have you kind of had that experience post the races that you've shared?
Actually, not really. Like, funny enough, Kane and I, we don't really speak about our races or our running that much, like, in depth together. My mom also likes to run and trail race, and she's more likes to speak about race runners, the runs. And she's run a lot of the races that I've now running. And I'm always like, I just need to beat my mom's time. She had.
That's so like, funny.
Yeah, she'd run OCC before I ran it. Wow. And I was like, I just need to beat her time. And then, but yeah, Kane and I actually, we haven't had that much chats about races.
Yeah, it just goes back to normal life.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
That's so cool, Sam. I'm glad that you are excited. I think you really have something to look forward to tomorrow. Yeah, and yeah, I'm hoping it goes well so that we can unpack like what's next and what you look forward to. And yeah, I think also so cool we have a really strong women's field across the board, which really is so strong. Nice. And seeing just like female participation and seeing how many more women are in the 60K and the 100K this year is really nice to see. Yeah, just kind of comments, thoughts on that. You have friends who are running. I know you mentioned you have a friend running 100K.
Yeah. I have, I mean, yeah, there are lots of people, friends, people you get to know running. And yeah, my friend Yada is running, I think it's her first 100K. So I'm very excited for her.
Nice.
And like, yeah, there's Emily and yeah, running. Just so many people, like, I mean, not so many people, just, yeah, the women's field is getting stronger and stronger and more women running in general. And it's so cool to see.
It is cool.
Yeah.
And Sam, last question before I let you go. Are you like a chatter when you race and run? Do you have like, when you meet someone on the trail, are you like all about chatting to pass the time, or are you more, I'm just taking it in and we're running together kind of human?
I think I do actually like to chat sometimes.
Nice.
I do chatter. I do chatter.
That's cool.
Yeah. But maybe, I mean, I don't think, depends how tired I am.
Yeah,
I
do like to chatter. It depends where you are in your 60 or 100K race. Like
where I'm at in my head.
And how much oxygen there is available to breathe.
Cave, where I am in the pain cave.
And do you think you're going to be kind of in the pain cave tomorrow? Do you anticipate that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's like one of the, I feel like that's what's amazing about these races is you never know what's going to happen. But I always feel like you face the pain cave on an ultra, like,
yeah.
So look forward to seeing it tomorrow.
Sounds like it's like greeting an old friend. Hey,
yeah.
That's so cool. Sam, we're rooting for you. I'm excited for your run. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great to hopefully catch up on a longer podcast episode, unpack a bit more of your story. But we back you and it's nice to see you and George.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, we have two special guests with us. We have Kane, Riley and Finn. Welcome. It's so nice to have you guys with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
Kane, it's so cool to see you just really enjoy being here. I think saw you at the Race Village chatting to people, had a conversation with Sam earlier, and it really is nice. Just it looks like the Rileys are doing well and loving trail running and just being in George. Thoughts and feelings ahead of tomorrow. Excited for that lap in the Otanequa.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Sam kind of touched on this, but we've got a family holiday house in Wilderness,
which we've been
coming to since we were like younger than this guy.
Wow.
So I guess this area is like pretty special to both of us. So coming up, it always kind of feels like coming home.
Yeah.
I mean, like that Wilderness house is like, you know, it's been in our family longer than any other house. So yeah.
Lots of memories.
It feels like coming home, very special place. And then I guess like in more recent years, did I get introduced to the George Mountains? Like always having like seen them have been close.
Yes.
And like, oh, just as soon as I got up there, I was just blown away by really what's there.
Yeah.
I mean, like just behind us. It really is like a magical mountain range.
Yeah.
So the combination of those two, like getting very to come special. Back to like a happy place and then also getting into those mountains. And I guess the third part is that like I'm just a big fan of the George Mount event.
Yes, nice.
I've like been here a few times now.
Yeah.
It's grown in some ways. But in other ways, like it feels like the same events I came to like, I don't know, it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like all the same faces, same kind of community.
Yes.
You know, just like a little bit bigger and more exciting, I guess.
Very cool. Yeah. And I love the full circle growing up in and having the wilderness house and adventuring and now bringing your kids back. That must feel quite special, Ken.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
It's,
and he's like, he's getting to the age now where we can kind of jaw. So it's a, yeah, it's like an added layer of what makes the weekend fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So exciting. So happy to have you, Vu. And Kane, I think just this year, I know that you had like kind of a roadblock to oceans. You're really making me laugh. Your Instagram post this week, some of the notes that you were writing about like nutrition and figuring it out. And yeah, I just really enjoyed it. I was like, I think when we look at the pointy end of the field, it sometimes feels like, you know, the guys and girls have it all figured out. But it's really refreshing for me, someone who's run for so long, that you're still testing stuff, trying stuff, making tweaks. But can you speak a little bit to kind of what this year's looked like leading up to, I mean, 60K on trail, furthest trail that you've done this year?
Yeah. By a long way. yeah, it's been a really fun year so far. I think, like, firstly, like, I don't like see it as like a roadblock because, like, I don't know, like, I don't say, like, I identify as a runner. So, like, all kinds of running. Like,
yes.
I love all running.
Yes.
And I've got two young kids now, Finn's 3 and Ella, our daughter's 6 months. So kind of towards the end of last year, like looking at this year, I knew it would be tricky to train for longer races.
Yeah.
Just because like I wasn't really willing to dedicate the time needed.
Hmm.
But I certainly have enough time to train for shorter races.
Yeah.
So I think that was like a big part of the decision to like focus on some shorter road races at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So kind of not getting caught up in like, oh, wanting to do longer races, but there's a frustration because like it's not enough time to train. You know, I can have as much fun doing
yeah.
like a 21K road race and I can like yeah. focus on that and enjoy the training process and get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Nice.
And now it's kind of gotten to more like the part of the year where there's more like trail races I want to do.
Yeah.
So time to spend more time on the trail.
Yeah. That's really cool, Ken. Nice. I think I love that you just identify as a runner, just love to run. And I can see that. I think something that we chatted to Matt Bartz earlier and he was looking obviously forward to doing the Mila and he is doing the marathon tomorrow and he was like, but I just love running, so that's why I'm here. And even though it maybe didn't go according to plan, to still kind of come and do what I love with the community that I love is great. So it's really nice to see that pulling through for you as well. I have to laugh and mention this again. Sam and Admire, I found them chatting to each other in the race village and I asked Sam, what are you guys chatting about? And without skipping a beat, she says, I'm asking Admire for tips on how to beat my brother. and yeah, I think family obviously being a big theme. Is it just so cool to toe the same start line as your sister? I know you guys have done it a few times, but that seems to be something quite special.
Yeah, it's very cool there. It's, I mean, I get, yeah, we like just grew up as like an outdoorsy kind of family. So
yeah.
Like often where there's surfing together, running together, hiking together. So yeah. It kind of just feels like a natural progression, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's epic. And I mean, UTD a couple of weeks ago, how was that, Ken? It looked fast and furious. I know you guys shared that start line as well. Sam said it felt far. And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. How was your race?
Yeah, it was good. It was like actually a relatively humbling experience. I don't know, I guess first trail race of the season, like 37Ks doesn't sound or feel particularly far, but it was just much harder than I thought it would be.
Yes.
So it was cool. Like I learned some really, relearned some really good lessons, which I feel like I need from time to time. And like, you know, one of them was actually also just like enjoying racing and like not worrying too much about the outcome. I think like maybe a bit of a rust duster, like physically, but also mentally.
Yes.
Like going in, I was like maybe a bit too attached about the idea of like how I needed to perform as opposed to just going in and being like, you know, we're getting into a race.
Yes.
That's fun. And then like in the end of the day, like, you know, you play your cards, other people play their cards, and then you see kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So from that sense, it was, you know, more of a lesson than like the most enjoyable thing.
Yes.
But what was cool is like, you know, I took a lot from that. And like going into this weekend, it's like, I know, like, you know, you're here to race, which is fun. And like, there's a lot of uncertainty in that. And, you know, it's about like doing the best you can and then like seeing where that lands and enjoying experience like, regardless of what happens.
Yeah. And I think something like an interesting concept that's kind of come up in the race village now, just chatting to people, I've, you know, the classic question I ask everyone, are you nervous? And a lot of people I'm chatting to are like, I'm the fittest I've been. I'm really excited, but like really anything can happen. And that's what I think makes the sport and specifically like your ultra racing so exciting. It's like there's enough time for like things to happen, which can either be in your favor or not. And kind of approaching that, Kane, how do you, it just feels like one giant like puzzle or like Rubik's Cube. And how do you go about kind of moving those pieces around on the day?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the fun part, right? I mean, I love races, which like everything goes amazingly well. You feel so good.
Yeah.
But if every race was like that, it wouldn't really be special when it all clicks, right?
So yes.
I think like the uncertainty and needing to adapt to what's happening is that, like you said, like, I mean, it is like a bit of a Rubik's Cube. So, you know, I think like in training, we train so that we're able to handle like different situations arising. Like, you know, I think it's important to like have like a full quiver of skills and mechanisms to draw on when the kind of situation calls for it. But yeah, I mean, that's fine. And that's why I like the 60K distance too.
Yes.
I prefer shorter stuff. Like I like a 20K race, like just all in, like redlining is like definitely more my thing. Probably where my strength lies, to be fair. But like, you know, marathon, I know I can race a marathon hard for the most part.
Yeah.
100K, like, well, it takes a bit too much training at the moment. But 60K is like just beyond that point where...
Yeah, it's a, like sweet spot.
You know you're going to have like to work through some stuff.
Yeah.
Which is like, and I'm excited for that. It like makes it like a bit of a journey and a bit more adventurous than just like a pure performance kind of race.
Yeah.
So like I have no doubt tomorrow there'll be like different stages and different things to problem solve around. And like that's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. That's so cool. And Kane, is the fam going to be out and about on the route cheering for you tomorrow? Where can we expect to see them?
I think so. So I think they'll be at like the main aid station.
Nice.
Which should be cool.
Great.
It's always rad to see them.
Yeah, super fun. And Kane, feeling like, I know you were like, UTD's a bit of a, what did you call it? A rust buster. I really like that. But, and I know we talk about like the excitement, but like generally feeling good. I know you're probably a little bit more short on sleep than you'd like to be at this stage. Has the body kind of responded well to training despite that?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love more sleep, but good, to be honest. Nice. Like certainly no like excuse or... I don't think it's like making a difference. Like training's been good.
Nice.
So far this year. I think the biggest thing is like, I'm just quite stoked to be healthy. Like
yeah,
I had like
great.
Some like back niggles last year. And I was like never so bad that I couldn't run, but it was always like there, whether it was running or like going to the park with the soak.
Yes.
And you're kind of like, when you're in it, you don't realize, but you're like a bit of discomfort. And now this year I've been like being able to move freely how I want. Which has just been like glorious. So training's been good. Like it's still like a progress. Like I'm not like at my like absolute best, but we're getting there.
Yeah. And super pumped with what you've got.
Super
considering
pumped.
What everything that's been fitted in. Yeah.
No, it's
nice.
Like, oh, like I love doing all the things I have in my life, like the running, the working, the family time, and like training within the constraints that, like, let's put it this way, like, I put certain constraints on my training because of the life I want to live.
Yeah.
And cool. Within those constraints, training's been really, really good.
Nice. Yeah. Very well said, Kane. I love that. And it's nice to see you loving being a dad. Congrats on number two. I know that's like exciting adjustments, family of three to family of four. Mm. So that's amazing. And it's nice just to see you, Sam, the family, like enjoying the community and the outdoors. I always love seeing you guys at these events. So rooting for you tomorrow. I hope that you feel excited and that the Rubik's Cube is a fun put together. Mm. Even when the little matchup doesn't quite happen, that you can just keep turning that to make sure it all clicks.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, I'm really pumped to get out there now.
Kane, so random. What do you eat for breakfast before you race?
So I'm quite chilled with what I eat before race.
Yeah.
But like breakfast, I think I've kind of got breakfast down a little bit more.
Nice.
So if it's a short race, like peanut butter and honey on toast with some banana.
Lovely.
And like it's not that exciting of an answer anymore because I feel like a lot of people are doing it. And then for longer stuff, like I'll try throwing a boiled egg.
Okay. To see if you can get that.
Yeah. If I can get it down, I'll get it down.
Yeah.
And again, for me, 60Ks is long.
It's far, yeah.
So if I can sing something savory, which will kind of like fill me up a bit more, I'll do that. But sometimes it's a case of like waking up and being like, okay, what can I get down? And then I'll get that down and not like panicking about what it, like ultimately, like whatever you can get down is great.
Yeah.
But forcing stuff down is sometimes not the best.
Not wise.
Not the best idea.
Do you genuinely feel quite nervous on race day morning? Like,
No. Okay. I think I'm like, I don't know. I guess I've raced like a lot, like across disciplines.
Yeah.
And I don't really get very nervous anymore before races.
Okay.
Certainly more excited. I used to get very nervous before races, like big time, like massively, massively. But I think over the years, like, I don't know, I've just started to kind of like understand where racing fits into my life and that it's like I really enjoy racing.
Yeah.
And it's like a choice to do. And I'm not like really terrified with any outcome. Sometimes I fall into the habit of being a bit more outcome worried. Yeah. But like when my head's in a good space, then like nerves is not such a thing.
Nice. Yeah. That's great, Kane. I'm super excited for you. It's so nice to see the fam here in this little locker room. And I'm sure I'll see them on the route tomorrow. But good luck. Enjoy. I'm sure it's just all signs are pointing to a beautiful day in the mountains, which I think is a gift. So enjoy it.
Thanks so much.
It's so nice to have Douglas Pickard in our little locker room studio. He kindly agreed to an interview after I ambushed him in the parking lot yesterday, thinking that I still had my KZN plates on my car. I was trying to make a joke about how we're from the same place, and he was like, what? But all the way from KZN, Nottingham Road. Doug, welcome to George. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks. Very happy to be here. And,
nice.
Yeah, I'll just add to that as I drive in and get out the car. Nottingham Road driver. Like, who's that person? What did I do wrong? But very happy to be here. One of my favorite places, good old George.
Yes.
And favorite mountains. So yeah, it's just super chuffed that I'm actually here.
Yeah, that you made it.
And we're gonna
talk about that a little bit now. But I mean, the man who can't sit still, he is carrying my equipment in here. He was just opening a gate. He's been in the race village talking and chatting. I mean, are you feeling like, you know, it's not 100 miles, so it's all good? I'm feeling ready for 60K.
I won't lie. I watched that 100 mile start go, and I kind of just wanted to go home and have a little cry. They put on such a good show here. That start was just so cool.
Very special.
I love this event. I love the people here.
Nice.
Just wherever I can help out. I'm not doing the miler. Like you said, I can't sit still. So
I'll
drive my wife mad 24/7.
Yes, I can imagine. And you mentioned earlier you were packing sweets for aid stations. Is that what was happening?
Yeah, so I'm staying with Jacques and Claire. And this morning, I was very chilled sitting on the couch there, still in my PJs, and Claire and Jacques were running around. I was like, do you guys need help with anything?
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting it. And Claire was like, yeah, why don't you go pack sweets at the shop? I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, no, but it wasn't a mission at all. That was pretty chilled. Cool. And,
you're like, this is how I'm going to be out on the Milo route. The Oaks can think of me as I'm eating, as they're eating the sweets that I packed. Yeah.
Well, it was your presence. For the kids.
Oh,
the
wow.
Kids, apparently, they got a very cool. The kids are going to be there tomorrow, also for our run at Harold's Wines. There's about 50 kids coming from the local school or something. And so they've made packets for all of them, and they have sweets and a hat and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's epic. Yeah. Nice. Oh, I love that.
It's so cool how they get everyone involved, the community in this place.
I can't believe it. It feels like this whole town, I don't know if you can call Georgia town anymore. It feels like a city, but everyone's like involved in some way or the other. Even where I went to grab coffee this morning, it's like, are you running? What's happening? And I was like, so cool. But Doug, chat to us a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned now you're not on the Milo start line, but what happened?
Where do we start? No, so... So I ran Skyrun at the end of the last year and then decided to take a little break. And I've got the blueberry farm in Nottingham Road. Yes. So that was peak carver season.
Yeah.
Christmas morning, Father Christmas came. Kids are super excited. I'm sitting in the lounge there on our ottoman.
Yeah.
And our ottoman's got this decoration, this metal thing at the bottom. And I was sitting there having my coffee and my Malinois. Whenever I post a running video, a lot of people know my dog.
Yes.
She runs with me for miles. Anyway, she came and said, come, it's time for a run, and put a dew claw into my leg. So I just kicked down on, and that metal piece on the bottom just sliced the whole back of my heel.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, my mother-in-law, I don't know, sorry to anyone who's a bit wheezy, but my mother-in-law ended up pulling a piece of chunk of skin and meat and... between the couch and the metal piece. So that put me out for a good long time, mid-Feb, I'd say. And then I was still running with a plastic heel, wearing double socks for the impact, but trying to get training again.
Yes.
Getting a glass of water in the morning, and one of the kids came and spoke to me and distracted, knocked the glass out of my hand with the cupboard. Anyway, glass shattered on the kitchen counter, into the front of my leg here. Cut some tendons and...
Oh, my word.
The artery and, yeah. And then it was just before we were going on holiday. And we went to Vital for the holiday. And, you know, I got three small kids. Don't want to be that dad that doesn't go swimming and teach his kids how to surf and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, tried my best, put double bandages on and waterproof plasters. Cut a long story short, it still got infected.
Oh, man.
And third time lucky with guys cutting it open and fixing it up.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Sorted it out. And that was, I think, 8 weeks on Monday.
Oh, my word. And so forget trail running being lethal in situations. Household items, ottomans and glasses.
Don't come visit me in my house.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, last year I spent the whole year in the mountains and most of the time on my own.
Yeah.
No major injuries.
And then you go home.
First half of this year, every time I've been in my house, I've been.
Oh, my gosh. It's a war zone there. And I think if I heard correctly, Doug, the doctor was like, cool, in 8 weeks' time, you can start running. And then yesterday you said, I've got 3 weeks of training in.
You're going to get me in trouble here.
sorry.
So, I think Monday was 8 weeks.
Okay.
And when I had the op, he's like, 8 weeks, you can start running again.
Yeah.
So I have been getting in a bit of mileage about three weeks ago. I started ticking over. And listen, I have been sitting on the stationary bike.
Yeah.
So I've been keeping the engine going.
Yeah.
So,
I've
been ticking over on the bicycle stuff just to keep, like I say, the engine going. But, I'm keen to see how it's going to go tomorrow. I went back into it very hard.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Straight away, I was like,
you did one of Strava build, looks like that. And you're like, guys, everyone, don't breathe. It's going
to
be fine.
Zero to hero.
Yes.
And my coach actually sent me a message saying, Doug, that's enough. Chill. So I've taken a little bit of a chill time now.
Okay.
And Zane was awesome enough. It was very late and I was like, hey, Zane, I'm so keen to come. Nice. Let me know if there's any cancellations on the 60 just as a...
Oh, great.
And he's like, Brie.
You in?
Pull in.
Yeah.
Just come have fun. So and that's all you have great. To do is just have fun, eh?
I can see that. And I think I've said to everyone, like, the weather, everything is pointing to the fact that tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun. And I can imagine with sitting on the stationary bike, lethal indoors, you like, somebody let me into the mountains and then it'll all be fine. I can imagine you're quite stoked.
Super chuffed to get into the mountains. Yeah, let's see how it goes. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
There's some serious racing snakes at that 60-kilometer mark.
I see.
I don't know if you saw Max yesterday. He made me take my hat off to show off all my gray hair on stage. I was like, geez, thanks.
I'm like, you and Ryan sat. Ryan had the same. Everyone was ripping him last year. And he gave everyone in the marathon a hiding in the last 3Ks. So I'm sure, Doug, pressure. You can do the same.
Yeah. The goal is to just keep them in sight and then see how it goes.
Just put that pressure. We'll see what happens.
It's going to be a jaw there. Yeah. Just, like these mountains here are just... They're special. And I spent a lot of time in these mountains.
I was going to ask, outside of, I mean, the miler itself would have made you spend a lot of time here running last year. But outside of that, have you run quite a lot in George, or is most of your exploration kind of around George Mutt time?
No. So last year, coming up to the race, I came up here twice. And then I ran it the first year with Ryan as well. So,
yes.
And then I came up. So... It's all been around the miler, the route, and then my brother lives in Plett.
Great. So, nice and close.
Yeah. So when we do come here, we don't come to George normally, but we run in the forest.
Okay. This area is a special spot for you. Nice. Does your brother run as well?
Used to. Used to get off his lazy bum. He used to be a blooming good runner. Now he's lazy. Yeah.
I've just had Sam and Kane Riley here, little sibling rivalry in the 60K. You can get your brother, be like, come on, bro, we need to just do some dicing.
I don't know if we'll get to that level as the Sam and Kane level as we're competing. But he was a good runner. So we're trying to get him back into it. We'll see.
And Doug, I'm sure that so much of, tomorrow you're just testing the body, seeing how it feels after having now the kind of everything cleaned out for the third time. But what hopes and aspirations running wise for the rest of the year? Do you have your sights set on kind of other things after George Mutt?
Yeah. So the goal is to try to get back to UTMB.
Okay.
So that's probably top goal. I sat down with my coach the other day and we had a look at my fitness levels and where we are compared to last year. I mean, last year I was nice and fit for this one and I've been training for 3 weeks. So we're going to be training pretty much at the max to try to get to UTMB.
Okay.
I've got the entry.
Nice.
So that's on the cards. And then it's a big decision. I definitely want to do another miler.
Yes.
In South Africa. But the other one that's going to eat me alive is Sky.
Love Sky Run.
So, end of the year is so tough. They got two of my favorite runs.
Yes. So close to one another.
Apart.
I know.
So I haven't quite decided on that. But from now we'll focus on UTMB. So start here. Maybe do another longer one at MacMac.
Yes.
To build up a bit.
Okay, great. Nice.
Just all starting to build up and then try to peak at UTMB.
Epic.
And
that's
going to
be great.
I think UTMB is going to be a jaw because last year it was such a jaw.
Yes.
And there were a handful of South Africans.
Yeah.
Now, this whole crew, the George crew is going.
Yes, there's tons.
All the runners. I know people from Joburg that are going. It's going to be...
Everyone's decided this is the year.
It's going to be a big party.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And Doug, I think just training-wise, Nottingham Road, are you doing most of your training? I mean, not at home. We've established you must be outside of your house, but just... In and around the farm, is that like mostly where your playground is for training? Do you get kind of more into the Berg for some of your sessions?
So I've actually got a logistics business in Joburg as well.
Okay.
So I do 1 week Joburg, 1 week on the farm.
Wow.
So when I'm on the farms, it's easy. I mean, I can run out my gate and do a 20K run, get about 1,000 meters of climbing.
Nice.
So that's the go-to.
Yeah.
But as it gets closer to race day or peak training, I'll try getting to the Berg as much as possible. So cool. After this, I will try getting to the Berg at least once a week and go run Monk's Cowl. Or,
yes.
You know, when you're running at that 2,000 meter altitude,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
it's the best for your training.
Yes.
So
yeah.
If I can get there once a week and then do my normal stuff around the farm, that's lekker. And then Joburg is normally on the road, and I do my worst on the road.
Yeah.
At intervals and sprinting.
Yes.
My coach knows how much I hate that.
Yes.
So, no, I can't say I hate it.
Yeah. But you're getting it done. Yeah.
Just up and down, up and down. So, farm is Berg and climbing and mileage. And
nice.
Joburg, try to get in there.
Intervals at altitude.
The speed stuff.
Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. You're very committed. I love it. But Doug, I can see you have some contagious enthusiasm for running and that you're excited to get out there. So good luck. I'm excited to see how you go. And I back you to just reel the youngsters in.
Those youngsters in.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm also excited to see how it goes. But I'm just going to put it all out there. And afterwards, I'm going to grab a cold one here and come enjoy the party. I mean, last year was such a jewel. After my mileage, it was such a party here. Yeah, we had so much fun.
I remember I actually had, this is so funny, when I stopped you and I said I'm a big fan, one of the reasons why I said that was last year I watched you finish the miler, and like you were all smiles and champagne, and 10 minutes later you're like sitting on the grass playing with your kids, and they've super pumped, and I probably don't understand what 100 miles was. So they're like, come on, Dad, like play with us. And there you were. And I was like, oh my gosh, like all the energy kind of post-miler.
I wish they were here. Eh?
And
they're not here. But I mean, they're bummed they're not here. But that's a big pick-me-up on the miler route. I've spoken about it quite a bit. Going into Bergplas on the miler route, I mean, that's a rough section of the run. It was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
All three of my little kids there. Here we go, Dad, have a peppermint.
Aww.
My little boy was dorsing. He was three back then, I think. And he woke up and gave me a hug. And he was like, okay, guys, let's go. See you at the finish.
Yes.
That just keeps
you going here. You told them that you'll see them at the finish. Yeah, that's so cool.
Very cool having them here. So I'm bummed they're not here, but we'll be back for the mile next year. And
they'll be here again. And waiting for you. Come on, Dad, you have to finish and play with us.
Dad, we want to play.
I love that.
And I was like, come on, Dad. You go for a 40K training run and you're like, a bit tired. Come, Dad, let's go play soccer outside. Let's go play open gate. And
between that and the farming, no wonder you do 100 milers. You're just on your feet all the time.
With three young kids on a farm, there's no stopping it.
Yeah.
It's lacquer.
Oh, but man.
I mean, that's why we moved out there. It was just, that lifestyle is just so cool.
That is so cool. Yes. I can see you do. It's awesome. And I feel, inspired. But Doug, good luck. Excited. And we're going to catch up with you afterwards.
Cool.
When you're having your cold one, to ask you how it all went down.
Yeah, give me some time. I might be lying on my back for a while.
Well, let's see. That's sprint finish, I think. I feel like it's cooking. It's coming. Yeah. Thanks so much, Doug.
Thanks so much, yeah.